Again, we want to welcome you tonight. We're glad that you're here to celebrate not only the birth of our Savior, but really, it's more than just that. I know that Christmas season typically is, you know, the little child in a manger, but it really goes beyond that. It goes into not only the child, but then the life, and then really the death and resurrection of that very Savior. And so we have a risen Savior, not a Savior that stayed as a child. So welcome tonight. We're glad that you could make it this evening. Now, this last Sunday, we started a new series, and the series was Like a Child. That was the theme of it, and we're going to hit part two today, and then this coming Sunday, I welcome you to come back, third message, so I want to invite you to be part of that. But we started with this single verse that I want to read to you tonight, and that is our anchor verse, and I want to read it to you, refresh your minds this evening. It's Mark chapter 10, verse 15. If you brought your Bibles or your YouVersion electronic Bible, just go there with me to Mark chapter 10, verse 15. And I want to just remind you of the context here. Jesus is interacting with a lot of children at this point. He has a really busy schedule. His disciples know that. His disciples, as a result, they see him interacting with children, and they're like, man, we've got to get him away from the kids. And Jesus responds to them when they do that, and he responds to them in a very brash kind of tone, and this is what he says. He says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child, like a little child, will never enter it. And did you catch that? You know, that no one who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Now, it's interesting because when you look at that, what Jesus is not saying is that you must be childish before the Lord. That's not what he's saying. As a matter of fact, what he's saying is you got to be childlike. You got to have a childlike faith, a childlike trust when you approach God. Now, that's for a child. You look at a child, you think, man, that's pretty unique because that's pretty difficult sometimes, right? And so we're looking at three attributes of God starting last Sunday, continuing today, and then moving forward this coming Sunday. And the attribute we talked about last Sunday was this, was God's goodness. We said, okay, so from a child's perspective, what does it mean for God to be good? And another way of saying it is this, my God is for me. Tonight we'll be talking about God's presence. God's presence, his attribute of presence. We're going to look at it from a child's perspective. Now, if we think about it, a child would say it this way, my God is with me. Next Sunday, we'll see the power of God, that attribute, the power of God, through the eyes of a child, which one may put it this way, my God can do anything. So today, we're going to look at my God is with me. Now, when we think about the presence of God, we've got to think of it this way. We've got to think of it in terms of a child, right? If you look at the presence of God, you know, if we look at it from our perspective, it's, okay, God is present. And what does that mean? God can be present everywhere, but, you know, he's God of a distance. But when a child looks at presence, he looks at it very radically different. For example, let's just take a smaller example and put it this way. What if you were to ask your child, say your child is just, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, and you ask your child, would you rather have your parents in the next room or would you rather have them in the same room? What do you think they would say? In the same room, right? So if you're asked the same child, you know, would you rather have your parent, you know, at work providing for you, which is essential, providing for you a roof over your head by working, or would you rather have him at home? What do you think a child would say? Home. Now, if you were to ask a child, would you rather have your dad hanging out with the buddies, you know, at the Running M, or would you rather have your dad at home crawling on his knees with a little toy car doing the zoom, 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 zoom in front of you? What do you think they would say? Zoom, zoom, zoom. That's right. I was curious to see if somebody would say that. That's exactly right, because for a child, presence means something very different than it does for an adult. For us, when we think presence, we give some leeway and we think, okay, you can be present, but you be also, you know, in the distance. But for a child, that's not the case. When a child looks at presence, what they think is right here, right now, in front of me, in front of you. And that's where Jesus comes in. That's where the power or the birth of Jesus Christ comes in. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. if you brought your Bible. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. We're going to see this idea unfold that presence is more than just something in, off to the distance, but rather something that is here, immediate, in front of you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, it reads like this. It says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream." Now, who is he talking about here? It's Joseph. Now, I want you to put yourself for just a moment in the shoes of Joseph. Here's a guy who from very young age, when he was likely a child, his parents had said, "Hey, you're going to marry that girl over there, the neighbor, Mary." And Mary's parents would say, "You're going to marry that boy over there." And the parents would have talked to one another and said, "Hey, how can we make this happen? Your son, marry my daughter. You know, your daughter, marry my son." They would exchange something, you know, something of value, so that could happen. And so if you can just imagine, Mary and Joseph grew up together knowing that one day they would marry each other. Now, you haven't caught it yet. They grew up knowing who their true love was going to be. So likely you would have had Joseph, you know, just having this warm affection over time for this future bride. Perhaps Mary over time would have imagined, "Man, I can't wait, you know, until Joseph becomes my husband. And we can ride that horse in the sunset and all it's peaceful, you know." Or maybe Joseph was thinking, "Man, I can't wait till she's my bride, that I can take care of her and I can provide for her." Right? But then one day something happens, something extraordinary happens. And that one thing that happens is that she gets pregnant. And it's not just one regular pregnancy. She was a virgin. And she's pregnant. And it wasn't by a man. And now Joseph comes into contact with the whole reality of things. And he thinks to himself, "What am I going to do? Because that's dishonoring to my name. That's dishonoring to my reputation. That could be very, very dishonoring." And so he decides to do what any man in his time would have done, which is to say, like, "We're leaving. We're checking out of this. You know, I'm going to just break it off. And we're going to do it quietly so you're not shamed in the process." And he wouldn't have been wrong to do that. But then an angel of God appears to Joseph, and that's really what we're picking up. And in a dream, this angel says this, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid." Can you imagine the fear, the anxiety, the worry that he would have had, particularly for his reputation? He says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him," what would they call him? "Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is not going to be like it was prior to Jesus, where a few anointed people would feel the very presence of God, and God would speak to them in very unique ways personally. And, you know, in the Old Testament, it's more like God would talk to the corporate, the people, all in unison, not to the individual. There was few exceptions. But now, God would be with you. He would be with you. Not a God of a distance, not a God who's out there somewhere in La La Land, somewhere in the clouds. No, it's going to be a God of the presence in front of you right there and then. Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. So no longer would you need a special connection. No longer would you have to be a priest, you know, to even get into the temple of God where the very presence of God emanated. No more. The very presence of God walking with man in Jesus. God with you. God with you. And you may be here tonight thinking, "Well, what does that mean to me? Like, what does it literally mean to me? Does that make any impact in my life?" And I want to say it does. In John chapter 14, verse 16, it says this, "And I will ask the Father," this is Jesus talking, "and I will give, he will give you another counselor the word paracleto, which means along to come alongside and help. I will give you another counselor to be you with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you. With you. And will be in you. You see the significance? What he's saying is, hey, wait a minute. You thought God was a God of a distance? No longer is that going to be the case. No longer will you feel so worried and feel like God is so far. No longer will you feel like you're so lonely and God feels so far. As a matter of fact, if you felt alone, he would be your companion. If you felt lost, now, he would be your guide. If you felt weak, he would be your strength. If you felt like you needed some healing, spiritual healing, he would be your healer. If you felt hurt, he would be your hope. And if you felt like you were just downright sinner, he was your salvation now. And you would have him in your presence every single moment of the day and night, 24/7, God with you, God with us. Now, real quickly, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, a couple of things. When God is with you, God, he guides you when you're lost. You see, when God is with you, we take that to the extreme and we think, okay, it's true that he's with us. What does that mean in my life practically? Well, it means this. He guides you. He guides you. He's constantly guiding you, particularly when you're lost. I want to read you Psalm 139. It says, verse 7, it says, where can I go from your spirit? This is David talking, King David. Where can I flee from your presence? In other words, where can I escape? Where can I just run away where you're not there? If I go up in the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will, check this out, guide me. Guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. I love the picture. It's a beautiful picture. It's a picture of God guiding the lost person. Do you feel lost this night? Do you feel lost? Do you feel like you've had a terrible week, maybe a terrible month, maybe even a terrible year, and you feel lost spiritually? He's there to guide you because he's there present in your life. I love the imagery of he holds me fast, you know. And I get the privilege of really getting to coach Little League, and particularly when you coach 4 to 6 year olds. Well, it's interesting because, you know, everything is a go with when you're 4 to 6. You know, anything can happen. They can score in the wrong end. You know, they can, run off. If it's soccer, they can run off and go to the lilies, you know, instead of going to the ball. If it's basketball, who knows what happens in basketball. Instead of going for the ball, they can maybe go to the stands, you know. All sorts of things happen. All sorts of funny, weird things happen when you're 4 to 6 year old. And it is then that you really need guidance, right? But it's interesting because in peewee level, it's not so competitive, even though parents and coaches seem to think that it should be. But 4 to 6 year old, they don't care about competition. They care about enjoying themselves. And you know what we do in our sports leagues? We allow the coaches to be able to hold the hand of the child. So when the child is going a different direction, the coach grabs the hand. Come over here, over here. When the child is going off to the lilies, it's like, no. I know it's beautiful, but you're coming over here. The ball is even more beautiful. Come over here. You know, shoot it over there. When they go into the different goal, they're running the other direction, and they're excited because they think they're going to score. They're like, yes, it's, you know, they're excited. Parents are like, no, slow motion, no. The coach is there to grab by the hand and says, no, go over here. You don't want them to win. Come over here. We need to win. I mean, you don't take score, of course. But what do we do? And that's the picture that I get when I look at this passage. It says, your right hand will hold me fast. When you go in that direction that you know you shouldn't go, you know it's sin, and you know that it's beautiful sin, you feel like, man, this is so beautiful. God holds your hand and says, no. I know it looks pretty, but there's a lot of pain in that road. When you think like, no, I want to chase after my own initiatives, after my own agenda, God holds your hand and says, no. Wait. I know you want to do that, but There's pain at the end of that rainbow. Come over here. Come over here. And that's what he does. He guides you. His presence, when God is with you, he guides you when you're lost. Number two, when God is with you, he gives you rest when you are weary. He gives you rest when you are weary. I love what Moses does. Moses, you know, he comes out of Egypt, and he's going out of Egypt. He's going to what he feels is going to be the promised land. He doesn't know at this point that it's going to be 40 years before he gets there, but he's at Mount Sinai. He's having an awesome mountaintop experience with God himself. And then he asks God a question, something that went like, you know, when am I going to rest? Because I'm tired. And this is what God tells him. He says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. He didn't know that he was going to just go forward for 40 years. But yet, along the way, he would get rest. For many of us, we don't have time to stop. Our work is too busy. We got to make the paycheck. We got to keep on moving forward. If we don't move forward, the bills don't get paid. And we feel like we got to truck into the front. We got to go forward. We got to go forward. We got to go forward. Where does the rest come from if you can't stop? My presence will go with you. I will give you rest. He gives you rest because his presence is with you. Even when the road is hard and you feel like you can't stop, he can give you rest. Number three, when God is with you, he grants you favor when you are faithful. He grants you favor when you are faithful. You know, we just got to go back and look at Mary, for example. In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, an angel went to her and he said this. He said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is what? With you. He says, greetings. You know, you have a lot of favor with God. You've been very, very faithful. Mary would have been very, very faithful up to that point, and she will continue to be faithful to God. And he says, wait. There's favor. There's favor. We see it all over the scripture, how when we are faithful to God, he is faithful to us. When we are faithful to him, he begins to give us favor with man. He begins to give us favor in the job. He begins to give us favor in other areas, in our marriage, in our parenting, in all these other areas, in our relationships. When we are faithful to God, he grants us favor. He grants us favor. You know, Mary would have been very uncertain. What's going to happen? I'm a teenager. She would have been a teenager at this point. What's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen, God. I'm a teenager. You know, I don't know how this thing works. You know, I'm pregnant. You know, I haven't been pregnant before. What's going to happen? I'm uncertain. Will people look at me bad? Will they think I've been sleeping around? Who knows what kind of things were going on in her mind? And yet God says, I am with you. I will give you favor. I will give you favor. Tonight, I want to ask you that question. And the question I want to ask you is this. Do you know that you have the presence of God in your life? There's only one way to really know that you have God's presence in your life. And it's not this butterfly kind of feeling, because sometimes that's what the tacos do after you eat them. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you ought to feel these butterflies, though sometimes you do feel something supernatural in and around you where it's God's presence. There are moments in life where you feel just this untangible, this sense of God is present. I just can't explain it. But some people have goosebumps. Some people have all sorts of things that they feel like, man, God is here. I can't explain it, you know. I don't know if you've ever experienced that or not. But, you know, that's God, by the way. But I just want to say to you, but, you know, the telltale sign of whether or not God is present in your life is whether or not you have invited him into your life. If you have not invited Christ into your life to be your Lord or your leader and your forgiver, then I want to invite you to do that tonight. I want to invite you that tonight would be the night that you say, you know what? I want to experience God's presence, God's guidance, God giving me rest, and God, the favor of God. So I want you to bow your head this night, and if you're there tonight, if you're sitting in your chair and you're thinking, man, I just need rest. I just need God to guide me. I'm lost. I don't know what to do, you know, with that relationship, with that job, with whatever it may be. And maybe you're thinking, man, I've never experienced the very presence of God. I want to let you know that you can. And if you want to start that journey of knowing that he will lead you and he's going to forgive you of everything you've done in the past, your present, and even your future, I want you to pray after me there where you're sitting down. Maybe it would be silently there in your head, or maybe you would express it verbally. You know, Romans chapter 10 says you got to confess with your mouth. So maybe there where you're sitting down, you would say something like this. You repeat after me. Lord Father, I'm a sinner. And I understand that the consequence of that sin is to be separated from you. It's for you to be a God of a distance, not of here and now. Tonight, Father, I invite your Son Jesus to be the one that takes my sin, the crucified one. I invite him into my life to be my leader and my forgiver, so that I can experience your presence, the supernatural presence of your Spirit. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you pray tonight, we want to hear about it. We want to celebrate with you. We have some cards in the front of your chairs, an orange card. I want you to fill it out and just leave it there at the chair, and we'll pick it up later. We want to send you some information to grow in your faith. And you're going to see, if you invited Christ in your life, that God is going to do some changing deep in here. And you're going to sense God's presence in your life. You're going to know that he's there, even when, quote, there's nobody there. You're going to know that he is right there next to you, even when it feels like there's nobody next to you. That's a promise. It's not Pastor Jesse giving you that promise. That's God the Father saying, I promise you that. That's Jesus saying to you, hey, the Paracleto, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit is now here, that you can experience guidance and peace. And you can experience favor with God. Amen.